You're listening to The Osiris Mounir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, my looms, my luminaries. I feel like wearing all of these bright colors just for you. We've been having a few days here in LA that are malaise, but you know, they're coming out of it. The sun is starting to shine a little bit more, I guess. Hey, if I had a planet like Earth to govern, I wouldn't want to shine sometimes either. I tell you, we are a hot mess. Shout out to all of those who choose love over chaos. And before we get into our show today, we are going to give a shout out to our sponsor, senior real estate and probate specialist, Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508, 818-571-1508, senior real estate and probate specialist. Kevin Pike, call him. He's good to go. All right. So today I found, at least I think it's interesting, you guys, today we're going to talk about this show, and we're going to continue a talk about sound, the effects of sound, the difference between sounds and words. I'm talking words. Sound, as you know, is penetrative. It can go through walls, spaces, places that words cannot go. Words can travel and be taken somewhere by a person's interest in a particular subject. But sound does not have to be confined. You can't confine sound. Well, let me put it like this. If you're recording something and you're starting and stopping, and you've made a choice to be interrupted or something like that, that's different. But even in that small space of time, there's sound. There's brackets and spaces of sound. So I want to talk about you guys something really super interesting. On Hulu and Disney Plus, there is this show called Battle of Fates, F-A-T-E-S. It's a South Korean show that started this year. I think it's February 2026. And it is it really just took off. So it premiered February and then just like went like pow, everybody was on it. So what the show is about, they gather 49 of the country's most powerful, prominent masters of tarot, shamans, which is called Mudang there, I think, physiognomist, and scholars of Saju, another Korean, it's Korean astrology, to compete in a tournament style, you know, like it's a room full of them. They're all in their unique clothing style. Some are using fans. Some have bells that they ring. Some go into, you know, meditation. Some use astrology charts. And it's a competition that they pick the person that was able to predict the fate of a person, subject, whatever, without them knowing who it is. So it's known as the Arena of Master Predictors. So the primary goal of the show is to determine who has the most accurate intuition and predictive powers. A whole show now on these things. Now, before I get into some of the elements of the show, what I find interesting, I said this before, this is why I very seldom listen to the society and its opinions. And unless it can be proven by fact or something, and I'm not just talking about intellectual fact, I mean emotional intelligence, spiritual intelligence, it makes common sense. It follows the line of reason. You can be proven to a certain degree, that kind of thing. I don't listen because I'm talking to the same people that judge people for being Black, the same people that kill and murder women and children, the same society that does all, the same humanity that allows these things. And until I feel and the world can at least see some significant change, I can't trust it. I can't. The only thing I trust are people that live what they talk, you know, they talk, they live that way. You know, their behavior matches who they are inside of themselves. And you can tell if you just sit around and observe, we can tell a lot about people, where they come from, what they believe, energy. And when you get it fine-tuned and you can smell trouble when it walks through the door, sense trouble, feel trouble, and know how to remove yourself, like my buddy Bruce Lee says, you know, be like water, you know, can't trust it. So the key elements of Battle of Fates, they are, like I said, a ranging group of practitioners from 20-year veterans to, you know, modern tarot experts. So they put, you know, a big, like, it's gorgeous set and everything. And now I'm going to tell you why we're talking about this. The challenge is for the contestants to face intense, often unsettling missions to test their skills. Like, they put somebody's feet up there and it was a print of a man's foot. And they said it was a man's foot, but they knew nothing about the man, nothing. All they saw was a picture. They made sure that they were able to see the lines and imprint on the bottom of the feet, et cetera. So they, in some cases, they have to identify the cause of someone's death. In some cases, they can pinpoint, like in an audience, they are able to pinpoint someone like, oh yeah, you, because of the way, you know, whatever they're seeing, are destined for wealth. Or they'll look and say, well, this and that. These are all old things that at some point in humanity were considered to be heretical. People were burned at the stake, called witches, murderers, women especially. I have observed in my length of living that women especially, and anything that has to do with emotion or intuition, are always kind of put in a box like it's something wrong with that, because men in general are not in touch with their softer sides, or their more gentle sides, the side of them that does, show emotions, the side of them that does show empathy and compassion. The society has trained men not to do these things, or not to feel these things, or to ignore these things. Then you have gay men. Thank goodness that they are able to at least show enough of their emotion, maybe to rub off on some of the hardcore, I'm man and all I do is a woman's supposed to be, you know, my job and she's my position and all of that. And you can express a softer side of yourselves as men, just like I and women can express a more assertive side when we need to take care of ourselves. You know, we don't have no men. We have to go out, find a job, make money, earn income. What else? Who's going to take care of us? Who? So for people to say, oh yeah, she's being, she's acting rough or whatever, like a Tomish or whatever. Well, have you ever thought to consider that the woman is single and has to earn a living and likes making money and likes smelling good, looking good, being good inside the whole package? Nothing to do with a gender, has to do with an individual wanting to take care of themselves. So we got to get out of all that. First of all, very old school thinking, very not for the future. So if you think like that, I'd advise you to find another way to think, because you'll feel and look very unevolved in the coming 10, 15 years from now, starting now, been started 5, 6, 7 years ago, actually. So anyway, that's what the show is about. They're able to do these things. Sometimes some of them communicate messages from the dead. Like, you know, I personally, if you're dead, stay dead. That's me. I don't care who it is, how much I care for you. You know, it doesn't mean that I don't think about the deceased. Every day in our prayers, we give honor to the deceased, you know, but I have not in any way wanting to have somebody communicate them for me. I have images and memories of those people, and I can contact them on my own. So, you know, but there are people that are skilled to do this. These are some of the people they bring onto this show. So, tools of the trade. Some of them, as I said, bring fans, bells, dowsing rods. Others employ modern technology like a laptop to calculate astrology charts, et cetera, et cetera. What they are getting flack about is the, which is what I'm going to dig and dive. I hate using words that everybody uses, and this is why. There's so many other words to use that describe the same thing as dive does. Dig, dive, step into, get on a platform, stand up for, be aroused by, whatever you want to use. And this is really something that bothers me, that we have all of these words in the dictionary and nobody chooses to use but one word. And it's set in rhythm by something out there. And then the whole world, out of stupidity, is like, oh, well, they use it. So I guess it's the popular word now. Pay attention, people. My looms are aware, but pay attention. Anyway, so tools of the trade, they feel that we cannot be told that this is going to happen to us and that we have no control. So the public is saying, how can you say someone's fated to do something? Shouldn't it be that as individual people, we have complete control over what happens to us, what we do, who we are, and who we are to become? Thus, so when Bruce Lee said, as I started saying, when he said, be like water, he didn't mean be stagnant. Water, when it's stagnant, and if you've ever been around water that's stagnant, it smells bad. It looks bad. It's got a lot of bugs and stuff all off in it. It's just sitting there. And then it's like attracting all of these things that like wet, that like sensation. And, you know, that's water. That's the element of water. On the other hand, it is healing. Nourishing, nurturing, reviving, can quench your thirst, can cleanse your body. All of those things are the properties of the element of water. So Bruce Lee not only tapped into a part of his brain that he could deal with pain and in a certain way dismiss it. He found a way to maintain a sense and a center of balance and peace within without using drugs or anything like that. He was a small guy. When I think of him, 5'8", you guys, he was only 5'8". And everybody always wanted to come for him. They always wanted to fight him. And so he grew up with this kind of like dragon energy. Like, yeah, I always have to defend myself because somebody's coming for me. I'm just staying to myself. I'm just being myself. Somebody else wants to come for me. Somebody always says, and I think that's why I'm attracted to him, because I've been one of those energies that until I matured, did not know what self-worth, what my, as you know, who I was. Well, I'm fully aware now, I tell you. And thanks to chanting, which we're going to talk about. When I talk about chanting, talk about, oh yeah, you should become a Buddhist or whatever. Buddhism is a discipline. One has to want to be the best, very, very best version of themselves. One has to be willing to let go of the ego. One has to be willing to be shaped, beat up, abused, tested, scratched out, deluded, come back, bring back together, and then sit up straight in the powerful stance of being completely human with no animalistic tendencies at all, no greed, no anger, no stupidity, no hell, hunger, anger, greed, stupidity, rapture. All of the 10 worlds are in complete balance. So before we talk about resonance, reading fate and talking about someone's possible outcome in their life and eradicating karma are two different types of mindsets. So hang with me. The Schumann resonance, this is science. It's not Osiris trying to advise. You know, I'm just telling you what I've learned, what I know, and what I've observed to be true. And nobody can take that from you. No one can tell me what I have not seen with my own eyes. And because I'm curious and because I've lived things kind of outside of a box and decided to follow my own drummer, hear my own heartbeat, I've gone through some very interesting and rewarding situations. Much more positive things and just knowing and being open and like, wow, being in awe at all the things that the world has to offer and being centered and grounded simultaneously. Because all of what the world has to offer is not something you should take on. It's just something you might find out about. You might, you know, not need it or may need it, who knows. But when we are doing what they call daimoku, and we're doing repetitively the chanting nam myoho renge kyo over and over, we are not just saying words. We're sending out a sound, a vibration, and it's a high vibration. So we are creating a certain wave or a certain frequency, much like when I shared with you guys about the planets last week, and how the earth has its own electromagnetic field and electric field of energy. Every human being, every plant, every animal, every planet, anything within the sphere of life and energy takes on a resonance or a sound or vibration. So when we do this mantra, we are sending that sound inside of ourselves. You know, we don't predict the future and say, oh yeah, this is going to happen to me because I was born poor, black, ugly, or whatever the circumstances were. We create our future by doing those very things, understanding the law of cause and effect. Again, nothing to do with religion. I'm talking about an actual law, gravity, man-made laws or laws. If you go out there and shoot somebody, you'd like to get shot back or go to jail, prison, whatever circumstances were, you're judged. We're judged is what I'm saying. So, but in the law of cause and effect, there is no judgment. It is simply based on what the individual thinks, does, and becomes at any point in time. So it's thoughts, words, actions, and deeds that only the individual is being accounted for. There is nobody out there judging. Nobody's going to tell you right from wrong. You know, when we practice, we kind of brilliantly understand the law by what starts to happen in our environments, whatever those environments are. There's change that we can see. Everybody can see it. We can see it, what's going on. It can look chaotic because most people have never experienced change. Change is never pretty. I've never seen change be pretty unless you're going moving and you've gotten prosperous or healthy. And the change is from, I was in bad health and I'm in good health, you know, or the change is from, you know, I've never had some money and now I have money. You know, I know what it feels like to be loved or be prosperous, those kind of things. We can actually see those kind of physical changes happen within our environments when we do this particular sound. So chanting is offensive. It is not passive like Zen. We do not sit around and wait for things to happen to us. We, when we practice, we are actively broadcasting. Like now, I'm broadcasting to you. The station has a sensory thing like antennas or something. They're quite interesting to watch. Actually, I used to watch these things when I was a little kid and wonder what they did. But anyway, and it's these waves of sound that are coming out. Don't forget, these are actual things that are going on. we're so caught up in our daily lives of work, jobs, relationships, trauma, whatever else is going on, that we forget that these are actual parts of our world that are affecting our world every day. And we have to learn how to pay more attention rather than waiting until the last minute when something is upon us. Oh, wow, something just blew up. Well, if you had paid attention, you'd have seen that guy's been coming over there for the past 3 or 4 weeks. But we're so busy, you know, with our own stuff, we don't have time to say, well, can I widen my eyes this much more to not see like so much here, but also to see to the sides what's going on, you know. So we are not passive at all. You know, we actively broadcast a high life frequency to dilute and delete, in some cases, the static in the outside world so that somebody like me can have tremendous problems, tremendous adversity. I couldn't even begin to tell you, I'll be writing another book, you know, tremendous. And still be at peace, still choose to be happy, still choose to have a certain way to look at things versus letting the mind master us. And we start to succumb to all of the negativities, all of the emotions, all of the ungrounded, all of the trauma that we've experienced, none of the work we've done, all of the things that people are saying, all of the things that's the mind. So it's like a wild stallion that you have to just keep riding it and riding it until you train it and you tell it what to do and it obeys. Well, I've had years, and other people like me have had years to train the mind to do just that. Now, let me explain something. Chanting works no matter where the individual starts from. Just to say it's a person that has, they don't have much common sense, or they were born with some sort of mental incapacity. That person is actually able to shift the cells, the frequency of their body's inside tissues, things like that, to help them not only adjust to what they don't have, but to make use of what they were given. See the difference? Not like, oh yeah, I was born with one leg. Well, I got one leg, so what can I do with the other leg I do got? You know, what can I do with the other leg I do have? You know, that kind of thing. So you take what we call changing poison into medicine, where you take what you've been given and you change it and alchemize it enough to make it work to your benefit. You know, so it's like a demon. Don't quote me because I have a lot to talk about and my mind is going, but in one of the Gosho's studies or teachings that we've run across, they talk about the Devadatta daughters, and they talk about how when they tried to come up against the Lotus Sutra, that not only were they made to bow down, they actually were made to have to serve the Sutra and serve, you know, the law of cause and effect because of the ill will deeds that they had done, you know, and that there are people that have come up against the sutra. Now, again, I'm not talking about something man-made. So for those that are out there that think that things like spell working, things like that can bump against something that is so profound as the law of cause and effect. And when I say profound, I mean that it's off the planet. There's no intellect you can explain it. It's too profound for the human mind to understand. I'm not talking about a word designed to compensate for something that we lack understanding of. I'm talking about something that in certain parts of it, you do not understand. It is so, you'd have to go, whoa, way, way, way deep into the Akashic rivers of life in order to understand that. And you probably would not be in human form. I'm telling you what, it would be true. You know, we probably won't be in human form. Now, there are those people that, let me say it in this way. Let's just say when you were born to be a genius, or you were a genius when you were born, or you were born to be a famous artist or someone that the world needed to partake of, someone that the world needed to be exposed to because a person actually has a mission and something that we are here to do. And you just didn't have any of the things. You didn't have the tools. You didn't have the education, nothing. As I said, I had to teach myself how to train myself how to speak proper English, because when I grew up, we did talk like this. You know, we'd be saying it, and chunking across the street, and you know, that kind of language. And then in order for me to do the news and media, I had to speak in a way that was not community-based, but in a global tone that anyone that understood proper English could understand. Not putting down people talking like this and what they say their country and all of that, but saying that if you're going to have this kind of career, if you're going to be a public speaker, if you're going to do things like that, you have to learn there should never be dead air. That all should be taken care of before we arrive on the screen. I also had to learn to control what I say for the way it might could be perceived, and for clarity's sake, understanding that not everyone may have a Harvard education out there. Some people may have never graduated from high school, but I'm able to reach you and say, I love you and talk to you just the same without having some kind of air of, oh, I can speak the King's English or the Queen's English, and I can talk very royal like this, and I can use very big words like desperation and hesitation, aspiration and inspire and teach, and you know, or I can just be myself and talk, which is pretty much how I am, unless I'm, you know, doing something in particular where you really do have to enunciate and speak correctly. So let's go back to Sam. Nom. When we say the word nom, it vibrates in our lower spine. So because we're going nom, that's the first sound. Nom. See? Nom. Nom. Raising up those chakras. The priest and they don't go around saying, oh yeah, you're raising up your chakras. Who cares? The whole point is that you're raising your vibration, your frequency high enough to see above the stuff that's in the way of being and getting what you need to get to move forward to the next step of lessons, trials, and tribulations that one must go through. Meanwhile, offering benefit and great fortune. One of them, youth. Because when you do the going, see the exercise of the muscles? So you're always constantly feeling refreshed and vibrant. And if you're not feeling that way, then we're probably doing something incorrectly, because that is definitely what it does. So that's where nom. Then me, yo. Now, these things, again, are scientifically proved, not because science knows anything about Nambiyo Horengekyo, but because they know about sound, vibration, and frequency, and resonance, and they've tested it. They've tested it on rocks on top of a pan, and you know, they ring something, and they move, or dust and sand. It's fascinating. So you guys do not have to listen to me. This is scientifically proved. I'm not telling you something that I've made up or I want you to believe this and that or the other. I am simply talking about sound. I'm not talking about Buddhism. I'm talking about the part of Buddhism that is sound. And that's what we are doing, making a sound. Okay? So we're on the subject of sound and how sound affects the body. So M, Mio, it transitions to the back of the throat and the soft palate and nasal passages. So we go, Mio. Now in Buddhism, again, this does not mean that in Buddhism. I'm talking to you strictly about sound and about how saying these things, what the sound of them is doing to the physical body. So please don't go out there talking about, Oh, yeah. She said Buddhism is saying Nam and not, because Nam means an entirely different thing in Buddhist scripture and Buddhist teachings. Again, I'm only talking about the subject of sound, okay, and what it does to the body. So it creates the word myo, or the sound myo, creates like a labial part in the nasal passages. So you go namyo, namyo, namyo. You're already coming up. See it? Already coming up. It creates a buzzing sensation in the facial bones. Ning, 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 ning. As a matter of fact, when I first started chanting, you guys, when they invited me to the first meeting, it was in San Francisco, and I was living in San Francisco, in Santa Rosa at the time, and going to school up there. It's no mistake. So anyway, but it sounded like a bunch of bees. It was like, and it sounded like they were saying baloney, baloney, baloney. I was like, what the hell? I looked at my friend like, what is this? She's like, no, we have to just sit down and listen. It's very insightful. I'm like, okay. But anyway, so I thought it was a bunch of bees because it goes so fast, but you can hear every word and every intonation. And that it sounded so, but at the same time, it was just fascinating. So anyway, our faces are the mask. So when we're doing these sounds, it is exercising the mask, the face, the muscles of the face, structure of the face, the external environment of the face, you know. That means whatever the air around the face and envelops our skin, that's the external environment. Then it resonates into the eustachian tubes, which vibrate into the skull and the inner ear. So oftentimes when I do it, I'll stop and hear the, oh, I can still hear it. Oh my gosh. You know, wow. So that. And then it allows the mind to lift itself up from a state of suffering and then see life in not only a higher frequency of vibration, but in a higher level of observation. See? Whereas maybe something that seems devastating, with clarity of mind and understanding that things in life are always temporary. Even if they last forever, eventually we'll die. So it's still temporary. Okay, so think like that. Things are temporary. And there's always a solution and always choices. So anyway, it shifts the mind out of survival state into a higher level of observation, which causes someone to be able to move forward in our lives. So myo is the opening. Ho is the expansion of that opening. So once we open, what are we going to see? We're going to go in there. We're going to look and see. Let's see. Wow. So if I make this decision now, I can see this far ahead. If I do this, I can even look back and see that I did the same thing with another decision, with the same decision, and see. So work can only be here in the present, because future is not there yet. Past is already gone. Nothing you can do about it. This is why I think it's ridiculous that we allow ourselves to get into arguments and fuss. I used to do that. And then one day I woke up and I felt so stupid and so intellectually dumb, you know, that I didn't, you know, just didn't know my butt from a hole in the ground, I would say. Anyway, so hopefully you guys are understanding what I'm talking about. Again, I am not talking about Buddhism necessarily as much as I'm talking about the subject of sound and trying to help you understand that sound is very, very important. Understanding that when we practice anything to do with the vocal cords, vocal structure, we are emitting a certain frequency. And when people hear that, like, I'm going to say Barbara Streisand, because I think Barbara Streisand, like Adele, and like other vocalists, have incredibly vocal strength, incredibly vocal control, and mental control, because we have to be able to expound upon our vocals when we're singing, and you know, we are just making sound. So she's one of an example to me of something that if she sings, it not only is heard, it's soothing and it's calming. And then you have rock stars that they sing too, but look at the difference in the energy. Nothing wrong with it, just a difference in vibration and frequency. So let's keep going. So ho is the exhale of the voice. And when we do ho, it's held in like a long exhalation, like miyoho, miyoho. And then you get to, so ho brings up the energy, or miyo opens energy, ho pushes it down. So when we're doing this thing, it's like, oh, bring it up, push it down. Bring it up, push it down, which is why the priests have us practice in a certain kind of rhythm and sound to be able to get the correct kind of raising of our life state or life condition that we need to be able to move forward and solve those overwhelming problems that look so overwhelming. Okay. Renge, when we do renge, we're really going to the chest and the heart and balancing the breath and pulse. So I want you to know that that's what we're doing. When we're doing saying the word, making the sound renge, that's what we're doing. And then kyo involves the navel passages and skull, and then clearing the mind and sharpening focus. Nam myo renge kyo. You ever saw the Tina Turner story? You know what the woman did? Don't deny her, because she wasn't of your belief. Say she had something. And not only did she look like $1 million, you know, I didn't even know how old Tina Turner was. Like, good Lord, what is she doing? And again, when you're using sound and vibration versus words, it's an entirely different feeling, an entirely different vibration. Like Bruce Lee said, be like water. Again, the TV show, it's on Disney and Hulu. For those of you that are just interested in different type of philosophies, again, when I get up here and talk, these are my personal interests. Just like some of you out there like baseball and going to bars and drinking and hanging out with your friends and having girls' night out or guys' night, the sports. This is what I like to do on my personal time. So please don't judge me. I choose to do these kinds of things because for me, they seem to be more productive than what the world has allotted that gives us stuff to do. You know, and I'm an entertainer, so I see movies and stuff all the time. You know, I go to lunches all the time. It's no big deal. And so when I do have time, I like spending it with me. And if there's a special person, friends and family, with them. Okay. So that's where I'm coming from with that. So I have a question about, you know, with regards to the show Battle of Fates. If a shaman told you your fate today, they just said, somebody said, Osiris, you're going to be crippled by a passing truck. You're going to try to move and you're going to fall down on the side of the street. Would you accept it, or would you try to change the frequency so that you could attract a different thing? Attract. So the mind works. That's why they say in one of our teachings, be the master of your own mind and not let your mind master you. The mind is like a wild stallion. It has to be trained. You have to train it the way to think. And it takes years. This is nothing easy. And, you know, people that come on, and I can tell, I'm doing a lot of research, but I can tell people that have actually lived some life and have some life experiences versus people like, oh, yeah, they say you can make some money, you know, on YouTube doing this, that, and the other. And then they jump on there and they sound just as green as all out, rather than waiting to get some training or to get some focus and clarity and then busting out there. It's one thing for people to say, get out there. Yeah, you got to start somewhere, but don't start with your feet flying all up out of the air. Start with at least a little grounding. You know, well, I've learned the basics of something, And I can expound by doing those things and practicing, you know, things like that, because most spiritual work takes a lifetime. It's never going to stop. You're never going to not be challenged. Never. And every stage of growing is like going in a classroom where it's always going to be something to learn, always something that forces the brain from moving from a chaotic state, a beta and anxiety into the alpha and theta state. So when we're doing Nam Myoho-Renge Kyo, we're chanting, we're moving from beta and alpha, which is all the talking and chatter people do every day. I sit and observe people. Even though I talk, I still observe. And I see people and hear people on the phone, and they're talking about all their problems. And their friends are trying to be nice. Like, look, I really got my own stuff going on, because you're my friend, you're my cousin, you're my family, whatever. And I love you. You know, I'm going to take the time and listen to you dump all of your stuff, because you really, even though you say you have faith, don't believe in anything, because if you did believe in it and really have the faith you said you have, you would not be suffering. You might be going through something. There may be problems that all human beings have, but there you won't be suffering. You won't be woe is me and going to bed worrying and, oh Lord, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and what I'm going to do and things like that. You will not be able to do that, or you won't have to, because you will have trained the mind to be so peaceful and tranquil that it knows, okay, well, I know this is temporary. What action do I need to take to move forward while I'm experiencing this set of problems? Okay. So you're hearing this on my show. You don't have to call me and talk to me about it. You know, I'm telling you, this is what I've done and how I've been able to get to where I am. And again, many, many years ago, I used to try to get people to do what I do and believe in the way I believe. And I didn't have anything if they said no, but then don't come at me and come for me when my life looks like this and you're stayed back there. Because I told you there's something to this. It's an advanced, progressive way of thinking. And I'm all about progression. I'm all about not necessarily leaving the past behind, but giving the past what it did. You're the past. Thank you for the lessons, for the time, for the growth, for the beauty, whatever. And then being in the present and looking forward to a bright and happy future. So theory teaches, we're going to wrap it up. Theory teaches that chanting helps to create a sensory input that competes with pain signals. So that's, I thought that was interesting that, you know, because when we heal, it requires you have unrestricted blood flow. One thing about healing is that the blood has to flow properly, and it has to go, as you know, to every part of the body and can't be just sticking around stagnant somewhere. Otherwise, we get sick, and that is what causes inflammation. So, you know, those are the things that we look out for when we're doing healing. We look for various ways to keep the body's natural energy flowing. And again, you may not believe this, but I believe this. I believe that the body is so bright and so brilliant. We're just so unfortunate that we're so at another level that we can't understand what it really does and what it's capable of. It can self-repair. But anyway, the rhythmic humming of M and N and Myoho-Renge Kyo, it increases the flow of nitric oxide to the nasal passages. They discovered up to 15 times. So these are true things. I'm not lying to you. This increased circulation delivers more nutrients and stuff to the system, more oxygen, like to injured tissues, nerves, muscles, accelerating the body's repair processes. So the more we do of it, the more we have to go in there and deal with those things. Now, when we're also chanting, it increases and goes right past the vagal muscle, where we do a vagal tone. So it rests and digests systems and passes through the vocal cords. It physically stimulates the vagal nerve, I would say. As I said, vagus nerve. It slows the heart rate down. It can calm people down. That's why I'm able to have had all those things happen to me in the military and able to look and stay calm with things that were heavily diagnosed against me because I practiced. And when my doctors found out I practiced, they called other doctors in at the VA and said, look at the difference in her as a veteran and what we diagnosed her with and other veterans. Okay. So I'm just telling you, this is true. So again, we are doing a lot when we are in invoking Sam. So Bruce Lee, boy, he didn't just train his body. He trained his frequency. When he did the fight in San Diego and they told him he was never going to fight again because the guy cheated and kicked him in the back and was very injured and told him what he couldn't do, he not only did it, he turned around and showed everyone else how they can do it by writing Jeet Kune Do and showing how sound shapes the mind, resonance and connections to ourselves. So there is sanity. In our audio environment, we have to use audio empathy and monitor our surroundings so that we are taking in the best and the highest frequencies to help us change our negative karma. The positive stuff we don't need to change is positive. It's the negative stuff, and there's plenty of that that we need to attack. So whenever I practice, it's like having a sound cleanse. You know, we do have a bell. It's like this big. I'll bring it on the set one day. You guys see how big it is. But anyway, yeah. But that's not what's doing it. The bell just sets the tone of what we're about to do, which is invoke the law. So dogs, I'm told, can hear up to a frequency of 45,000 hertz. They are now using something called VAT. You can look at this up again. These are facts, not something I'm making up. In therapy, and in a hospital, and it means vibroacoustic therapy is being used in hospitals to help patients with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and help to retain the brain. It is a non-invasive way of therapeutic technique of using low and high, in some cases, specialized frequencies and putting them, embedding them into furniture, mattresses. Chairs, and it simultaneously stimulates the body, the tactile, and the ears, auditory, to reduce anxiety, alleviate pain, and induce sleep relaxation and enhance circulation. Mouthful, huh? So anyway, that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. All of this information, all of these things that we do that sometimes we think we're just doing them and they are producing some amazing vibrational shields, some amazing interdisciplinary, but yeah, some interdisciplinary measures of change where, you know, maybe somebody starts to feel a little better about themselves. Like, look, I want to look better. I don't want to go around my arms smelling or not taking a bath or a shower or not, you know, uploading. There are plenty of stores now, you guys. Temu gives away things for free, in my opinion. And, you know, there are people that need those kind of bargains. They need, that's where they are in their prosperous circle. And they need those kind of bargainings until they can get up to the next level, or however they expound. If you take somebody like a very smart person, let's just say, and I don't mean smart intellectually necessarily, but smart enough to have common sense, and they have a skill, maybe they have special skills, they can are highly intuitive, or they can paint or draw or dance or sing or act or whatever. And you give them a tool, like a sword, like a Nam-myoho-renge-kyo on it. Let me tell you, that sword can cut through any kind of karmic circumstances, even if you're on the bed of death. Might pull you back at the last minute and say, wait, you ain't quite ready to go. Let me give you some energy and some vibrancy and frequency. That's all for now. Let's thank our wonderful LA Talk Radio owner and runner of the show, Sam Hassan. Love you, mucho gusto. And Don't forget about me on social media, Osiris underscore Munir underscore the painter on IG, and just look under Osiris Munir all across the web. Hit me up. Listen, I love you. Without your love and support, I would never be able to do this. I would, but I'd be doing it without you. And what fun would that be? Okay, I need you to help me have fun because I know you guys are out there and I try to, you know, say things in a way to help you understand. So it doesn't sound so heavy. And so it's another person trying to get us to join their religion and their belief. I don't care if you don't join. I'm going to be honest with you. But what I do care about is that you're happy and that you're doing more than surviving. And that if even if you're having a hard time, you can see light even under the worst circumstances. The lotus blossoms grows in a swamp of mud and it remains untainted, doesn't have a spot of mud on it, and grows in a muddy swamp. Also produces a seed that seeds and flowers simultaneously, which is why we use it as our, you know, as the flower that, you know, representing the law of cause and effect. So don't forget that. And don't forget to subscribe. Here we go. Da-da. Like. Da-da-da. Share. And above all, I need ya. Please subscribe. Okay, I did these myself. I thought it was a fun thing to do, kind of like, you know, a little different. But I liked it. And don't forget to always smile. It works wonders. And I will see you next week, same time, same bat station. Talk to you later. Bye. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.